Pat photobombing the news brings you. That was actually very well done, mate. I've got to say.
I'm very good at it.
That was very, very good.
A lot of practice.
That was a lot of highlight there.
Yeah.
Phoenix City.
Welcome to Phoenix City for another week. We are back at Four Kings because no workplaces will take us because of level two. But we're here to talk about some football. Dave's away, but I've got Frosty across the table from me.
Hello.
Ella is across the table as well.
Kia ora.
Slightly further away. And then Cam is next to me.
Good evening.
How are we doing, everybody?
Yeah.
How's
yeah.
your week been?
Oh, you know.
Best of times, bluest of times.
Blurst of times.
Blurst of times.
You heard me.
What's a blurst?
Oh my God.
We're young. We don't.
A blessed, cursed.
What is blurst? Is it a
Simpsons
you thing?
Reference?
Oh. No.
No.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Sorry.
What's the Simpsons? He says.
I don't know what the Simpsons are.
I've had a busy week, Patrick. Thank you for asking.
Oh, good. I'm glad that you actually answered the question.
I don't want a busy week, but
weird
I had one
Simpsons
anyway.
References. But let's just talk about the football. Let's go straight into it. The Phoenix lost 1-0 to Perth Glory. Go.
Well, that was shit.
Yeah, we didn't deserve it.
Not even close to deserving to lose that. We were excellent for large stretches of that game.
What?
Yep.
Yeah, you were saying a different we didn't deserve a thing,
no,
right?
No, we didn't deserve it.
No, we didn't deserve to lose that game. We were the better side by a significant margin.
We were the team that turned up trying to play.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah,
I think that's fundamentally
sure.
what it comes down to. We were weak where we knew we were going to be weak. We didn't have teeth.
Mm-hmm.
We had players trying to be teeth. We did not have any actual teeth. The dentures had gone.
Yeah, I think the key shot there being 28 shots on goal for a big, fat duck egg. I think that it
realistically, there were only
up.
Like... What?
How many
two?
Shots were actually in the box?
Yeah. There was Sotirios one where he managed to miss from, I don't even know how close, inches.
We had plenty of opportunities, plenty of good goal-scoring opportunities in that game. We just did not have the right person in the right place to score it. Or it went to fail to someone like Uli, who scuffed his shot a couple times. That kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, Sotirios did it multiple times as well.
Exactly.
I disagree to some extent. I think we dominated that game. I will say that everything leading up to final third, we were on top of that game. We had miles more possession. We looked more likely to create chances. And we kind of... blocked Perth out of that game in terms of trying to create. Whether Perth turned up wanting to play something or not is a different story. But in the attacking third, entirely toothless, we created maybe two chances in that game that should have been goals. There were 28 shots, but a significant portion of them were very easy for Reedy to just pick up because they were long shots, they went wide, all that kind of thing, and they were just, it was tame. It was a really tame effort in general, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, that's the operative thing is that we... looked like we had the opportunity to create the most chances. We didn't create the most chances.
I agree.
We did create the most chances. We created double the chances that they had by having double the shots that they had.
Yeah, but they weren't looking to take poor option shots. We were, because we had nothing. We had nothing in that final third.
Yes, but what you're saying is actually wrong, because we did have more opportunities than they did, quite a lot more opportunities.
They weren't good opportunities.
We were toothless, definitely, as Ella was pointing out, and we looked horrendous in the final third. But we certainly created a lot of opportunities, more than enough to score. And you both said as well, there's two clear-cut opportunities that we should have scored and didn't,
yeah.
which would have been enough to win the game.
I only remember one. That was Sotirios.
That was Sotirios' one. Mm-hmm. That is... That
kind of felt at that point his confidence in front of goal was kind of shot.
But that's Sotirios.
Yeah.
As soon as he gets a chance to think about one that he should score where he's...
The other one that I had was the De Villa free kick.
No.
Which really...
De Villa's form has just been on a pretty much a decline since the restart.
Yeah.
His confidence is gone.
He certainly... I think you used this analogy earlier about Neymar. He started trying to do everything himself.
Yeah.
Instead of...
Exactly.
there were several opportunities to feed somebody in a much stronger position where maybe the ball would have been difficult, maybe he couldn't have executed it, but it was still the better option was trying that pass than running into a corridor where you have no support and three guys closing you down. So
we had a guy like that in an old team of mine. We used to call him Black Hole because once the ball went in, it never came out again.
Yeah.
And that was it. He took it 2, 3, 4 touches. Piscopo was in on one side.
There's one with Cowell. Soterio was running clear.
Yeah. Oh, Soterio, that one. Yeah. He was so far in the clear.
Yeah. It might not have been an easy ball to play, but it was still the right ball to have a go at that. And if it didn't come off, it didn't come off. But that was what he should have been doing.
But the thing is, with Soterio's pace, he could have made good use of a bad ball.
Yeah, and there were a few opportunities where it would have been easier just to leave it for someone else, like Libby Cartier, to come in for a shot.
Yes.
And he still continued.
Oh, that one, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're just thinking, just hear the shout and leave it. Just trust your teammates.
There was someone dribbling forward, and at one stage he looped around, made a run, and was just coming back into play and took the ball off them. And you're just like, what are you doing? You're facing the wrong way.
Yeah.
He was just, he'd obviously seen the stat about him. If he scores, we win. And it's, and not if he was in the form that he was in pre-lockdown, I would have gone, yep, fine. You do you. But he wasn't informed and didn't recognise it. And I think that's a real detrimental thing. And, of course, Soterio hadn't got back to his...
Yeah, I think we're kind of putting a lot of pressure on Uli to be the player creating everything. But it's talking about, like, we're looking at Gary Hooper not being there. It's a factor that there was nobody else doing that.
The great point. It's the biggest factor we had. We'd lost the guy who was the focal point of the attack. And whilst we haven't been prolific at all this season, we had scored plenty of goals and we won lots of games. Losing that focal point, that guy you can rely on to score, was a huge, huge loss. And
if Gary Hooper is standing where Soterio was for that chance, it was one all we got each time.
Yeah. If anyone, I mean, that's Soterio's forte is his athletic ability, and so him standing still is not what you want. I mean, no disrespect to him. He's a fantastic athlete.
He provides pace to the team when it doesn't exist anywhere else. Like, ball doesn't have a lot of pace. No. Hooper certainly doesn't have a lot of pace. Uli's better with the ball technically than he has pace. So Terry provides that pace, and we saw that was it an Auckland goal where he scored a goal on the break?
Yes.
Yeah, we saw that then. Pace got us a goal, but pace is not what you need when the ball's played to your feet and just got to tap into the back of the net.
Yeah, I mean, problem is he's a player that, you know, if you had your ideal squad, he'd probably come on for the last 20-15 minutes to really stretch the defence. But unfortunately, because of where we ended up in terms of the players available, we were asking him to play 70 minutes, 90 minutes, and playing a very different role in that. You can't stretch a defence for 90 minutes on pace alone.
No, I mean, for me, it's just that the front formation, we had Ball, who's got a massive engine, massive work rate, but doesn't give you goals. Uli, who's patchy, so may not get you goals, may get you goals. Soterio, who's going to chip in with the odd one, but he's not prolific. He's the athlete.
He's got 4 this season. Yeah. He got a couple of assists. Still the best option off the bench players that we had. But he's not prolific.
We had McCowart, who a genuinely good youngster, but he's still finding his feet.
It's just a year or two too soon for him to fulfil that role.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love him to come back for another year just because I really want to see how good he can be in the A-League.
Yeah.
You look at our backs, you know, back seven, including Marinovic, that's a very good unit. You look at Callan Elliott, who's just stepped into that right-back spot and gone, yeah, I can play A-League. That's phenomenal. Yeah. And we had Payne before that. We had the ability to have Fenton go off the boil and still have 2 right backs who are A-League quality. Hudson Wihongi stepped in, and while he was a little loose, you know, he'd only played 100 or 200 minutes in the league so far this season. You know, that's not the worst thing.
Yeah, the thing is that with 2 exceptions, which was the Sydney game, probably because they were Sydney, and the Newcastle game because it all turned to shit, we haven't been chipping goals left, right and centre.
No.
And if you look at every game, pretty much every game across the season, if we've scored 2 goals, we win them because we're not conceding a lot of goals because that back seven has, like you said, has been doing such a good job. And that was the same in this game.
And Rufa.
And Rufford, totally. Yeah. But Perth, apart from one chance, really, maybe one that Marinovic had to save, didn't look like scoring. There's one moment of a player not stepping up with the rest of the defensive line, which created a channel for, who was it called, the goal?
Kianese.
Yeah, for Joel Kianese to step through, and that was the moment we got cut open.
And that, let's give him credit, that was an amazing ball and a fantastic run.
That's a beautiful finish. That's what Hooper Uli Ball had been doing all season, kind of goal.
Exactly right.
Together. Yeah. And we just couldn't do it in this game. And we haven't been able to do it for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yep. Five goals in 7 games. And I think at least two of them were from penalties.
Yep.
You know, there's no... Because there's no spark and no fire up the front end, it doesn't matter what you're doing elsewhere, one goal loses your game, right?
Yeah, and we don't have midfielders who are going to... I mean, I don't know how many midfield goals we got, actually. I mean, Devlin, Steinman, Rupa, none of them.
There was none from them.
None really chipping.
No.
Which is a shame, because they're all three quality players, and maybe you might see Devlin starting to kind of kick on a little more, but it's not Steinman's thing, and it's certainly not Rupa's thing.
No.
But... And that's a shame. It just means that we put all this pressure on the front third and we didn't have any push through.
In hindsight, do you think if he wishes that he did anything differently with that starting lineup? Or just that was the right team to come to the job?
You had to do a different formation to account for that. I think you needed to go something like 4-2-3-1.
That was the right players for the formation we were playing all season?
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't change it this late. That was, I think I said that last week. I would have loved to see them change, but it's too late.
It's not, for me, it wasn't so much the guys that he started with, because at the time, if he was available, I think it was probably the right starting lineup.
Was he available bench players?
Is available bench players. Yeah. I would have liked to have seen Ben Wayne get a run. Like, he only used two, right? He used two subs in the game. I would like to have seen Soterio come off for Ben Wayne at about the 60th to 70th minute,
yeah,
when it was obvious that Soterio wasn't having the impact that we wanted him to,
yeah,
and just gone, he's not going to do it. It's not his day today. Let's bring Ben Wayne on and see what he can do. You're on hiding something you're already down. Give it a shot.
Yeah.
So McCowett, I would have liked to see a slightly earlier run too. You know, he's been in reasonable form. He's shown that he can beat players. He can get in. And I think the fact that Piscopo was having a fantastic game, an amazing game, he really kicked on this break. I mean, that one where he's facing back to goal in our 6-yard box and he just brings it down,
yep,
and just goes, yeah.
I mean, all game he was really turning on the tricks and the flicks, and they were coming off. Like, that was he was playing like someone with so much more confidence than what we were seeing, kind of the team overall, if that makes sense. Like, he was kind of really kind of pulling them forward, and that was reassuring, at least seeing sparks like that coming out through the game, because it did kind of make you feel like, oh, we could possibly still nick it. We might not deserve however we get the goal if we do get the goal, but there is still a bit of that fight that we're still seeing there.
Those tricks were just like street football.
Like, that was someone going, you know what, it's finals time, I've got a bag of tricks and I'm going to show you.
Yeah, it would have been nice to see him doing that. McCowett, maybe on the other side, really, really stretching that defence out a bit and giving them two things to think about.
Yeah.
Whereas Soterio's pace, he's very direct. Davila, you can look after him in midfield, and you know that he's not going to be passing the ball in the mood that he's in. Yeah, it's a shame that it was such a limp ending to the season, because we did finish third.
It was a record-breaking season, our best season ever.
Yeah.
For two-thirds of the season, we were the best team in the league.
Yeah.
By a stretch.
Yeah.
I mean, that should be celebrated, but just that it's been these last few weeks. It's me.
Well, the difference between Sydney's record and our record was the first four games we lost.
Mm. But to be fair, Sydney had already won and then they dropped off at the end. So that happens.
But prior to lockdown, it was exactly the same. So, just take away those first four games and our record's the same as Sydney's, and that's pretty awesome.
I mean, when it came down to it, this season, have we just been a team that had a lot of potential, but just took a long time to get going on both sides of the restart? Is that just the sum of the team? Brilliant when it gets going, but takes a while to wind up.
Yeah, I think that was it.
Like,
that's
a really good summary, to be honest. Yeah.
I think you can't underestimate the impact that being in a different country away from your family twice had on the players and teams.
Yeah.
Having that initial 2-week period where they went over and couldn't play and came home again and had to isolate again, and then having to do it all again this time must have had an impact, right? And no other team had to deal with it to the extent that the Phoenix did. Mm. Not even Perth had to do it like that, like we did. Yeah. So
we talked about that just prior to going back, the discussion we had was it could go either way. It could be absolutely galvanising for the team. They come out of it absolutely fired up and with this fantastic culture and fantastic support that they've got within that squad, or it could be we just hate being around each other now.
I'm not
sure. I don't think it reached either of those points, though. I think it was somewhere in the middle. It kind of felt like...
For me, it felt like it was more towards the negative side of that.
Yeah.
It wasn't as negative as I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was still...
Yeah.
We've now had enough of being with each other.
Yeah, there's like a few weeks too long for doing that, and we'd hit that point a few weeks ago.
It wasn't that they hate each other. It was just that they were in a position where they weren't seeing anybody else.
Yeah.
And they had done that for longer than most of the teams had done. And
in the day's drag.
Exactly. And once things started going badly, you've just got those people around you who are feeling the same way. There's no going home to the family and having the kids not give a shit about what the result was. They're happy to see you. That wasn't happening.
Oh, you haven't met my kid then.
Okay, sure. Well, you don't win football very often. So,
that is very true.
But they weren't getting that. They weren't getting that aspect of life around their job. They were just having their job 24/7, and that's tough.
24/7 for 9 to 10 weeks is just... Yeah. You can't live that.
Imagine if any of us were doing our job and you then just had to go home with your colleagues and you had to then... Exactly. There's like head shaking on a table. Frosty's like, nope, I'm out. All sorts of things. Like, nobody would want to do that.
That is my life.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Okay, sorry. But that's what the players were doing.
Yeah.
And that's rough.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. When you're winning, it probably would have been fine. When you're losing, just being constantly reminded of it must be murder.
And I think you've got good examples of this. Is the teams, nobody really changed their form through this second period of the season. You're either good or you're bad. And you saw teams like Western United have the good side of it, where they've used it to really rocket themselves forward into a semi-final. We'll come to that soon. You've got teams like us in Sydney who have used it to just like peter off a little bit. A bunch of other teams who are Newcastle Jets, for example, really like they were unlucky they couldn't make the seven out of the six because they had seventh because of what happened before. But teams really just took whatever form they had and just played it the same thing for 5 weeks, and no real fluctuation that coming into the end of the season.
Yeah.
Such a downer. That is such a downer for what to end the way it has when it was so promising back in May.
When you think about, like, because I didn't get to read Piney's article today about ratings for the players, but I kind of went through my own list and went, actually, I can't think of anyone that realistically had that would have got a failing grade from me.
For the season as a whole?
For the season as a whole. There'd be the odd guy that'd be a 6 or a 7, yep, but there were quite a few 8s and 9s in there. Mm-hmm. Some really, really outstanding performances right across the board. And I don't know that I've ever been able to say that about a Knicks team. Even going back to the 12-13 season, you know, the greats.
Not 12-13.
Oh, was it?
Definitely not 12-13.
Was it 14-15.
14-15, sorry.
And 10-11-12...
10, 11, 12 then, yes, the Eiffel days.
Yes.
It's, you know, there were guys that were great there, but there were some pretty average players in there as well.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I mean, you had players like Diego, for example.
Yeah, Heerfield.
Yeah, but they did a job.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
leagues moved on from that point. And I totally agree that the squad that we built was excellent. And I don't know, I'm really down about the whole thing because I thought it could have been so positive. If the season hadn't been COVID impacted, I actually don't think it would have ended this way.
We'd have continued going on that trajectory.
Exactly.
And I reckon we would have won.
I reckon we'd have finished second in the league.
We'd have finished
in the top two. Great chance of making the grand final. I think we win a playoff game like that because we're at home. Yep. So, and I think that makes the world a difference.
Yeah. That was a big negative for me. It's just the fact that, I mean, no one who earned a home final really got to have one.
Only Sydney.
But even then, no crowd.
No crowd. Nothing. It's going to be brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gee, fuck, wow, we're all so down now, eh? Sorry.
We're having a wait for the season right now.
It feels like that, eh?
Let's try to talk about the other semi-final. That's going to really perk us up, isn't it?
We could talk about the other final.
Oh, sorry, the elimination final. West United taking on the Brisbane Roar, winning 1-0.
I think that was expected.
Inevitable.
Yeah.
In the same way that us losing was inevitable, that win, West United winning.
As soon as we lost, they were going to win.
Yeah, exactly.
They've been on some tier of form, honestly. We talked about how hard it was going to be for them with the short space of time between all of their games, but
when you're winning...
They have just nailed the restart.
Yeah, I mean, when you've got
Diamante,
who's just going to pull out some magic, and you've got Berisha, who is a very experienced campaigner and knows this league like no one else.
Mm. Yeah. Got that depth of experience to pull on the
in a tight corner,
they're going to come out swinging.
Yeah, they're going to bring you some goals. Burgess is he's kicked on.
Yeah.
The only way you were going to beat them is by getting at their inexperienced players at the back, and no one managed to do that.
Mm.
I mean, who's going to do it?
Well, they're Melbourne City this weekend.
Yeah, City's.
Sorry.
City's possibly.
This week. No weekends happening, are they?
Yeah, no, you're right. Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. As we record, Wednesday night.
I mean, City do have firepower, for sure.
Mm.
And they're going to have to get at them because they're going to concede goals.
I mean, that was the final game of the season, wasn't it? It's just City versus West United, and West United dispatched them pretty easily, if I remember correctly, or was it not?
No, City 2-2. No,
City beat United.
Sorry, but they beat it was a second string team.
Because they're resting players.
It was their only loss since the restart.
Gotcha.
Yeah, Rudan was definitely keeping his powder dry for that one. He wasn't going to risk getting a genuine loss. Yeah. He was quite willing to ship the fake loss.
Mm. Yeah.
Which is canny, but...
He couldn't finish second, and it didn't matter if where other than that he finished, because everybody's away from home, right? So, yeah.
And then we've got Sydney FC versus Perth Glory, which is potentially the most out-of-form semi-final we will ever see in the A-League.
It's a
PK league then.
Pretty much.
Well, like, this should be the point of the season where everyone's getting excited about the finals, and it's just like, why? The only exciting thing, which is annoying to say it, but is like the exciting thing is, will West United win the thing? Like, that's the only excitement awful. About this final series, right, is that we don't care if Sydney win it, we don't care if City win it. Maybe Perth wouldn't be a good story, but then they've been playing rubbish. Like, it wouldn't be fair. Like, it's just a very weird way to finish the season.
Perth winning it would be the only positive left, purely because they've come from sixth to do so, and no team has ever done that. It'd be great.
Hilarious.
It would be awesome.
It'd be the lesser of all the evils, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, City winning it is expected now, just going on form. Sydney winning it, well, they
it's
were top of the league. And,
yeah.
Western United would be a fairy tale that nobody wants to read. And, yeah, so it's got to be Perth. Everybody has to back Perth to win it.
Yeah, which I'm going to find very difficult.
City beat Western United tomorrow night, and that way the final can be, you know, not Western United.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, if Perth win the league, it will be a horrible, horrible display. Mourinho ball. I mean, they're very organised, and I applaud them for their footballing nous, but Jesus wept, it's not going to be fun to watch.
No, but considering where they were at last year, it's genuine surprise that they were in that kind of position.
Well, they came sixth, and we came sixth and beat a team's very out of form. Like, I think we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves there. Yeah,
but they are still playing. What I'm saying is that they're playing very poorly. They finished sixth over the course of the season when last season they were minor premiers.
Oh, right, okay.
And they hosted the grand final and only lost on pins.
Yeah.
So to the turnaround, and they haven't lost that many players.
Well, Castro.
The biggest issue for them will be Castro. The fact that Castro has gone seems to have really nullified any kind of attacking threat they had.
Now this sounds familiar.
Yeah, fair.
I was just thinking, it's like that. I'm not sure if this is accurate or not, but I don't know if they would have qualified but for the goals of Dane Ingham.
That's a good point, mate.
I mean, your left back scored two goals.
No, we mentioned Dane Ingham. That moustache he had going on.
It was filthy, wasn't it?
His haircut did not
have his face.
I had to check it was in November, because fine in November, but no other month. Anyway.
It's the only time that's okay.
Sidetracking, yeah. Shouldn't really be criticising someone's appearance when they've just out-footballed us, so.
That's okay.
Well, yeah,
you can. Okay. You can do it. That's fine.
Two separate things, mate. And he didn't out-football anyone.
Okay, all right.
I mean, Elliot, I thought, had the better of him. He beat Elliot once, but I'm pretty sure Elliot beat him maybe three or four times.
Elliot, considering, I remember he got game time against Adelaide, and we were talking how a good thing this was, because if you had to rely on a kid to come on in an elimination final, then
the only right back that we had in our squad for that elimination final.
And he was the best one. He played excellently.
Yeah, he had a great game.
You cannot fault that kid for the performances he put in. Every time he was asked, he did a good job.
He did.
Yeah.
There was still a couple of little glitches, but for a first year, and the kid's how old? Like 19?
Or second. 19. He was here last year as well.
Well, yeah, he didn't get any game time.
Yeah, he got some.
What, how many minutes? double digits.
I can't recall genuinely off the top of my head.
Yeah, so it's next to nothing. So, yeah, it's good. We need to sign him again. He definitely deserves a pro contract somewhere.
Well, looking... Obviously, we can speculate all you want. I don't know if Patrick actually wants us to speculate on the future of the league.
We need things for other weeks of this podcast. We can't blow all of our load tonight.
Okay, so I'll save that.
Yeah.
And we can talk about that after the season finishes.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've got to save time for buying as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the only other item on the agenda is to talk about the Champions League final.
Yes!
There we go. That's the Champions League final talked about.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, Bayern got lucky.
Got lucky. Yep. Lucky all season.
Just
won every game.
So lucky.
Won every game.
Champions League.
Champions League.
First team to ever do it. First team to ever win Champions League by winning every single game.
Not as many games,
I mean,
though.
Didn't they have to do that when it was the European Cup?
No, because it was home and away ties.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Hansi Flick, there's a coach.
Yep.
35 games, 33 wins. That's all right.
So if I were him, I'd be retiring now and just take the record.
Just don't top that, do you?
No, it's
just
pretty good for your first head coaching job at a senior club, and you're just like, yeah.
Considering this was only 11 games they played, they scored the second most number of goals in a Champions League season ever.
Wow.
Playing, they scored 42, the record I think was 46.
And there was fewer games.
And they played five fewer games and only scored four fewer goals.
Yeah, they were getting goals everywhere all season. Crazy. Everyone was going on about Lewandowski and like Gnabry was. So Lewandowski topped the CL with 15. Then it was Erling Haaland at 10. Then Serge Gnabry at third with 9.
Jeez. Yeah.
And that doesn't include the goals that Goretzka, Kimmich, Coman, Perisic, everyone got in on it.
Yep. Are any of them off contract? Are any of them cheap?
Are any of them mates with Matty Steinman?
Yeah,
that's the key. Anyone know Matty Steinman and prepared to come for a
holiday?
God's own. Yeah. You know,
it's quite nice. COVID-free.
I was about to say COVID-free, but it's not.
Pretty much
COVID-free-ish.
All of those players now have an extra zero on them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I mean, Coman would have been the most likely guy to
There's this one guy that plays for them, man. Little Indian fella from New Zealand.
Not anymore.
He'd be good. Used to. He played for them this season.
He did.
Did he play Champions League?
He did play Champions League. He played at least, I think, they were through after five games, so he played in the sixth group game. He
does
made his debut.
Get him a medal? Does he get a medal?
No. There is a minimum appearance fee. Yeah. Appearance
fees.
Make it. Yeah.
And to be fair, he's moved on loan to Nuremberg. Yeah. But what with Leroy Sané showing up for next season, it's probably not the worst call.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody else got anything else football they want to talk about? Because I'm just happy to wrap it up there.
Libby Kikache. He didn't come back, did he? He's off.
No, there's a few of them gone to Europe. So Kikaut, Jesus Christ. Can't even word. Kikache's gone over. Obviously, that's already been discussed by Ufi. He is going, and he's on contract too for next season, which means transfer fee, hopefully.
Yes, cash.
McCowart, who's off contract, he's gone over to Europe as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the state of the contracts are.
Sweden,
to be fair.
Again, Swedish third division.
Not trying to get into speculation of the league. There's a lot of water that has to go under the bridge before we can really look at the contracts beyond those who we've already got contracted, so
you don't blame players going looking overseas it's uncertain everywhere, but you're more likely to have a guaranteed contract in Europe than you are in Australia right now.
100%. Yeah. And Stefan's gone over too, but I believe that's for
his
family, German, and he is contracted to next season anyway, so he would be, obviously with the changes and stuff, there'll be discussions, but he's safe to assume he's gone for a holiday with his missus.
Which is fair.
Yeah,
that is fair. I mean, we do have a much better squad still signed for next year than we did this year.
We actually can field a starting 11.
Yeah, we've got 13 players currently contracted to next season.
We can do it.
I think at least we're 11 with two of them are goalies. And we've also got people like Sam Sutton and Jones, who are contracted players, but have been training with the squad for the
Elliot
entire season.
Elliot doesn't have a contract either.
I thought he was on three.
No, I don't think so.
I thought he had signed a 3-year contract last year. Was the first. This was the second. I could be completely wrong, but that's what I seem to recall.
Yeah, I thought I was pretty sure. There's been a few people saying that okay. need to get him contracted, and we do. I'd be quite happy in offering him a proper pro contract, because if he has got a contract, it'll be one of the
junior ones.
Juniors. So, yeah.
But again, I don't think there'll be any of that discussion for some time
yet. No, there's no point doing it. I mean, we don't even know when the season's starting, so, yeah. you know.
Yeah.
Speculation at yeah. best. I mean, there's still the whole matter of the league to get sorted. And
Patrick doesn't want us talking about that this week.
I'm teasing it. I'm teasing it, Pat. Don't worry. I'm just teasing it. The league and the W League, there's a lot to talk yep. about.
Which is why we're going to do a whole podcast on it.
Yeah.
And that'll do for this week, I think. Nice, short, sharp, concise. None of this rambling on for an hour 20. Just get it done. Wash it out.
Nothing wrong with people rambling on for an hour 20, mate.
Yeah, your editor has to edit it down.
Yeah, that's true. We don't have to edit it down. That's why we don't mind rambling on for an hour 20.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, that will be us for this week. Coming to you from Four Kings, and we will be back probably next week to talk about Grand Final, talk about the future of the league, talk about players, talk about who we have, who we want to sign on, all that jazz, all that postseason talk next time around. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.
Blustering brings you
week two of just buying intros. Nothing else brings you
a weekend of the season. Brings you
weekend, not weekend.
That's what I said.
I was confused. Yep.
A week ending to the season brings you
a weekend. Weekend to the season brings you because it was on a Saturday. Just on the weekend.
Pat photobombing the doos brings you. I'll do that again.
Pat photobombing the doos brings you.